I have always believed in miracles.
And that is why you will never hear me mention his name.
Deliver Brexit. Unite the country.
We will make America great again.
Views on News with Mark Latham.
Good afternoon, Mark Latham. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good, Brent. How are you going?
I'm okay. Well, it's been a big week in New South Wales Parliament. Continues to be a big week in New South Wales Parliament, doesn't it?
Well, absolutely. Information that nobody saw coming, completely unexpected, but of dire political consequence for the Premier, Gladys Berejiklian, and it's unrolling and unravelling further at the ICAC hearing today, where her partner of 6 years, Darryl Maguire, has thrown more fuel on the fire, I suppose you'd say, from the Premier's point of view. We got the information that one of these property developers, the instigation and cooperation of Maguire, got in to a meeting with the Premier. Now, that shouldn't be happening. They just walked into the office and pretty well barged in. No receptionist there. And this was a property developer with financial interests at Campsie in inner western Sydney, to go with Louise Waterhouse, who had the interests at Badgerys Creek. And given the fact that Gladys had this one meeting, and there was also emails sent, and she knew that Maguire, her partner, had been taking commissions as far back as 2014. This guy was the member for Wagga Wagga, so I think she had to put two and two together and get four, and that spelled out the fact that this fellow was on the take. He was engaged in all sorts of illicit financial activities, and the Premier had a very direct and indeed legal responsibility to report that to the relevant authorities.
And she didn't. You've said from, I think, we first started talking about this on Friday, didn't we, in the press and on the media. You've said
Monday. It was Monday at the ICAC when Gladys Berejiklian, everyone thought she was going down there for a 10-15 minute meeting just to answer a few questions and clarify her role, and then we find out, to the surprise of everyone in the political system and indeed every person in the state, that she'd been involved in a 5 or 6 year secret relationship with a guy who you can only describe as a crook.
Lots of people have described him as a crook this week. You said on Monday, I was driving back to the Valley on Monday, I think it was after work here, and I was listening to someone talk about something you had said, as in, you must have said it on Monday then. So you've said from the outset that Gladys Berejiklian should resign from the premiership.
Yeah, absolutely. There are ministerial standards. There's a document that Gladys is supposed to police, and if she's not upholding her own standards, well, that just makes her position untenable. She had a responsibility under that document to disclose the assets and interests of her de facto partner, so everyone in the system would know if she was voting, she would have, and considering it cabinet many, many times, Badgerys Creek Airport development, where Maguire had big financial interests, that was going to be his big payday. All of that needs to be declared. You can't go around in politics with a close, intimate relationship, a partner who's got big money interests, and you're considering these at the cabinet table, voting on them. You've got to declare an interest and abstain from such a process. So, you know, that's just the basic ethics. That's political ethics 101. And if you're not doing that, I thought, well, she had to go. But beyond that, I mean, the evidence has just got worse and worse, the extent of this guy's graft, the fact he was using his parliamentary office as a political consultancy, that he was taking money for organising meetings with other politicians, that bags of cash up to the value of $20,000 were being marched into his parliamentary office just downstairs from where I'm sitting now. All of that is just extraordinary. He had financial interests, not just Badgerys Creek, well out of his seat of Wagga. He was trying to set up a casino in Samoa. And it just went on and on and on, and Gladys, in her evidence, said, well, the bloke was money obsessed. He always wanted to talk about money. So you can only assume in their relationship over 5-6 years, where they've had thousands of conversations, if he's always talking about money, boy, the penny had to drop pretty early, that this bloke was up to no good, and she needed to report that.
Are you surprised by the public support that Gladys Berejiklian has garnered this week?
No, not really, in that during the COVID period, there's a tendency right around the country for people to rally around their known leaders. If Dan Andrews, with that disaster in Victoria, has still got a positive approval rating, it just shows you how a lot of people are saying, better the devil I know in these uncertain times. And it's true, Gladys Berejiklian did a very good job in the bushfires earlier this year. Other than Ruby Princess, you'd say she's been pretty successful in the COVID period. But, you know, because she did a good job in a couple of areas in politics, even if they're big areas, doesn't excuse the fact. If you haven't got decent standards, if you're not following your own rules, if you haven't got an ethical basis, then you really can't be leading a government. And under Section 11 of the ICAC Act, any minister who had a reasonable suggestion of corrupt conduct in and around them had to report that. That's a legal statutory responsibility to report that to ICAC. And this was a circumstance where year after year she did nothing, even to the point when the guy started to be investigated by ICAC 2 years ago, left the parliament in disgrace, was kicked out of the Liberal Party. You know, the dogs were barking then. Gladys kept the relationship going and didn't report. I mean, that was really the key tipping point. You could say, oh, well, Love carried her forward for 4 years. She was committed to this. She didn't want to dob in a boyfriend. But at the point where he left the parliament in disgrace, she needed to march down to the ICAC and say, you started this investigation and this guy, he's left the parliament humiliated and everyone knows he's done the wrong thing. I've got to tell you here, honestly, what I know. And she hasn't done that. She hasn't told them about the meeting with the developer from Campsie. She hasn't told them about the financial interests and the materials she received from the developer at Badgerys Creek. She hasn't told them about the emails. She hasn't told them about the private conversations. We're obsessed with money. Maguire's talking about all this stuff all the time. She hasn't told them as to why in 2018, in June, she brought under her own personal control the Greater Sydney Commission, which was the main planning body, strategic planning body in Sydney. And Maguire, all of a sudden, had his girlfriend as the minister in charge of planning in New South Wales, where he could directly lobby and get unfair access. She hasn't furthermore told the authorities in Canberra that her boyfriend Maguire, surrounded by Chinese money, Brent, there's all Chinese real estate money, and you look at the number of developments, it's unlimited, and he's also surrounded by Chinese spies. I listed those in the parliament. She had to tell the authorities in Canberra about the possibilities of foreign political interference, because if the Chinese knew and they feed off a secret, they could be saying, well, you know, the government in New South Wales has got to do certain things to further Chinese interests, otherwise we'll blow the secret on you. Well, you know, Maguire was in China there, probably telephone tapped by the Chinese. So maybe they knew. So it's ridiculous in those circumstances that she hasn't resigned.
Mark, evidence that's come out today, not only is this bloke a crook, but, I mean, he was also, you know, with the dealings with China, he was a traitor to the country.
Yeah, absolutely. He would do anything for a buck. And if that meant selling out to the Chinese, that's been part and parcel of it. And I particularly resent it, having lived in Western Sydney for 55 years. You know, the scourge in our region, SPIVs who come off the North Shore, or in this case Wagga Wagga, trying to get quick money from land rezonings and land speculation, putting no value back into the community, and then we never see them again. So he's been all over Western Sydney, at Wilton, at Cawdor, at Badgerys Creek, with various developments. He was there at Campsie in Canterbury. All of it Chinese money, buying in to speculate, to try and make a quick buck, effectively at the expense of the local community interest. And, yeah, he had no regard for Australians in this environment. If he could fill his pockets full of Chinese money, that's what he'd do. And it all started when he was the head of a parliamentary friendship group here. He went to functions, as did Gladys, organised by Wong Jong Mo, the bloke who disgraced himself with Dastiari and the Labor Party. So it's a hell of a mess, Brent. I could go through this because there's 20 or 30 matters of deep concern, deep ethical concern and possible breaches of the law. It just goes on and on. I just don't see... People can say Gladys has done a good job, but the political reality, and I think the moral reality and the legal reality, is that it's completely impossible. It's almost ridiculous that we're even contemplating the fact that she could survive.
So my next question to you is, look, she survived two no-confidence motions. The lower house one was 47-38. The upper house was a tie of 20, and, of course, the president broke the tie with their vote. I had an email this afternoon. Tell us about... could you get Mark to tell us about a vote of no-confidence? What repercussions does it carry, if any?
Well, Well, in the lower house, a vote of no confidence that's successful means the end of that government. The Premier would have to go to the Governor and resign, and the Governor would either call on the Leader of the Opposition to form a government, which wouldn't be possible, most likely call a fresh election.
Right.
So it's of dire consequences in the lower house. In the upper house, it doesn't change the government. It's a statement of protest. But interestingly, the vote was 20-20, but never in the very long history of the New South Wales upper house, going back to 1842, has there been a successful vote of no confidence in the government of the day.
Right.
So it's unprecedented and a very powerful message of protest. We may be back next week with looking at all this new evidence and see if there's a new motion of no confidence. And the Labor member who had to leave, again because of Chinese political interference allegations, Shiket Mosselman, he may well be back next week. And the numbers would be 21-20 to carry that unprecedented motion of no confidence.
But there will not be a win in the lower house because the government's got the numbers in the lower house, don't they?
Yeah, the National Party would have to peel off, or some Liberal renegades would have to stand up and say, I've lost confidence in Gladys and I'm crossing the floor to get rid of her.
Okay.
So that would be, well, that would be as big a bombshell as what happened on Monday. So that's not likely to happen, but certainly anyone in the Liberal Party who looks at the substance of this and looks at the news today, it's very hard to believe that they could maintain confidence in Gladys Berejiklian. And you feel that while, yes, she's got political capital from the bushfires and the COVID period, as more of this evidence comes out, as I said, there's 20 or 30 big matters of concern. There's probably 100 documents and telephone calls and an email trail about each of those. The upper house will call for the documents. We'll have our own inquiry into it. It would be a slow political death for Gladys, and I think that would be unfortunate. I think she should have resigned last weekend, knowing what was coming. She's only gone to the broken off the relationship with Maguire because ICAC dragged her down there. And if there was no ICAC, they'd still be in their relationship. He'd still be badgering her about financial interests. This has only happened because of the inquiry, and that in itself is extraordinary.
Okay, we've got to take a break. We're talking to the leader of One Nation in New South Wales, Mark Latham. We'll